Yeah, hard to say. He hasn't really practiced. You know what I mean? He's been, I think it was a week and a half or whatever, give or take. So as of last week, he practiced a little bit, and we'll see where it goes this week to give you an accurate read on where he is with the playbook. Right now, he's spending as much time in the training room as he is in the, you know, process of game planning and all that type of stuff. So it's hard for me to say accurately in this case.
That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about Amari Cooper. And that comment was brought to our attention on the show yesterday by a caller who had heard Mike a few weeks ago when the Cooper trade was made, you know, wondering McDermott sounded kind of, not super excited about Cooper, like sort of played it down when first asked about it, you know, another guy to help out the group, that kind of thing. And, at that time I said to Mike, and we repeated some of this yesterday, like, I think that's just McDermott not wanting to make Curtis Samuel and Mac Hollins and everybody else, Khalil Shakir, feel less than, right? Like, if the head coach is, oh my God, thank God Amari Cooper's here, you know, the rest of the everybody eats crowd might feel a little bit like, oh man, our coach kind of, he seems a little too excited that there's somebody to replace one of us coming in. So I thought McDermott, you know, sensibly would try to slow play. I don't know that I'm right. Mike could be right. I don't know. But that was my take. So this caller yesterday brings that comment up about the training room. And I said to the guy at the time that called in with it, like, you know, if that's right, that sounds odd to me. Seems like an odd thing for a coach to say. And it turns out, indeed, the caller was accurate, and it is right. You just heard McDermott say it with your own ears if you're paying attention here. And I still think it's odd. I don't think it's a build a show around it type of topic, but I think it's interesting, Nate, when you hear a coach talk about a player like that, it's hard to say he's been spending as much time in the training room as he has been in meetings, you know, in game planning, so it's hard for me to say. I get that certainly would be or could be factually accurate. It's an odd way for the coach to describe Amari Cooper's arrival here. It sounds like, hey, get out there a little bit to me.
Yeah,
and maybe it is. Maybe he's just speaking innocently and not, you know, just it's factual. He's injured. He's in the training room a lot. I don't know. It just sounded a little odd to me.
Definitely a little odd. You know, In fairness, since he's gotten here, he gets the injury in that Seahawks game.
Right.
But before that, I mean, he was on the field learning the playbook,
sure,
spending a lot of time at the facility. All we heard about was the assistant wide receivers coach,
yeah,
at the facility night and day with Amari Cooper, trying to onboard him. So
I wonder if there is some internal frustration about his injury, if whether like maybe McDermott or the trainers or the doctors or something like, you know, he's fine, but he's over here going, I don't know, this hurts still, I can't catch the ball or whatever. So I feel like it's something I'm going to be paying attention now, more attention now, every time McDermott or any of the coaches are asked about Amari Cooper, because I just feel like it could be a sign. I hope it's not. Again, I hope it's just innocent and factual, but usually that, to me, feels or sounds like, hey, we got a shot you can take. This is what that usually sounds like.
I maybe want to like extinguish the flame a little bit on this.
Okay, good.
Only because if they thought this guy isn't a great fit right away, like, hey, we need you on the field, we think you should be playing and you're not, they would have made another move.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Even if it was just somebody.
Yeah, if they had time, certainly, to do it.
And if they were worried, like, he's going to miss extended time, we can't seem to get him out of the training room and out of the field, we got to find somebody that can come in here. Mm-hmm. We can, like, even if it's...
I think that adds up.
You know, even if it's a fringe plus something, they would have made a move, I think. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I think that makes sense. I want to hope that that's right. Because, again, I don't want to make this more than it is, but it just is a curiosity. I'll leave it there for now. 803-0550 is the number. The news today, and we'll get through a lot more of this with Sal coming up in about a half an hour when he joins us in the 5 o'clock hour, is that Cooper is still limited and has that wrist pretty heavily taped. Keon Coleman just did some work on the side with trainers, but didn't appear to have any kind of a brace or wrap or anything on the injured hand slash wrist that he suffered in the Miami game. So I don't know what to make of that. McDermott's wording about him when he addressed the media yesterday was curious in that said he's not ruled out for Sunday, but it is something that possibly could extend more than one game. So I'm not sure what to make of that. I feel like the testing and the everything else has probably been completed at this point, so they maybe have a good handle on where that is. Really, I'm going a long way to say tune in to Sal's Extra Point Show tomorrow morning when the coach joins him, because I have a feeling McDermott might have some information on all of these guys. What I feel really like the timing is so tough here. They've got an opponent here that you could be tempted to save guys for next week. I mean, Kansas City is next week.
Yep.
Indianapolis doesn't feel like a team that should, you know, if the Bills are somewhat on point, even without key guys, I feel like that's a game you should be able to go in there and win. I just wonder how that equation works, like how much they would view it that way, whether they think they can get by without, you know, both Coleman and Cooper. Man, I just feel like that's so tough. You know, we only had really like six quarters of them looking on point passing offense-wise, and then Cooper's out last week against Miami, and they got there last week. I mean, Josh Allen had a good day ultimately against Miami. But, boy, the specter of being down those two guys especially, that's really looming, because I feel like, you know, we got the first game out of Cooper where he scored and had a couple of other nice catches, very little, one catch against Seattle. He did get hurt. That's where this injury occurred. No action last week. He was scratched from the game against Miami. And now I'm watching DeAndre Hopkins catch two touchdowns for Kansas City. And I'm just like, oh, come on, we need our guy, right? Because they're passing offense without a number one. I feel like we learned through the first month or 6 weeks of the season that the everybody eats thing sounds great, but in practice, in practicality, you need to have a guy that can beat one-on-one coverage regularly. Like, otherwise, you're really going to struggle.
Or just not be able to consistently do what needs to be done to win games. You can get by a couple of series, you can get by a half of football, but it's very unlikely against good football teams you're going to be able to consistently drive in and drive out, do what's required to win football games. Unless you have just an unbelievably elite defense. The Bills don't. Bills have a good defense. They're designed the right way today's modern NFL, and they'll have their moments. Like, last year, the defense really struggled in the middle of part of the season, like really struggled. And then they turned it on towards the end, and then obviously the injuries happened and it fell apart. But like, there always is ebbs and flows to this Bills defense. There will be games, the Seahawks game. Now, it's probably a different game if DK Metcalf's playing.
Sure.
But they still had two very good receivers out there that did nothing. They have one of the best running duos in the league. Kenneth Walker is top three or four. I mean, I make an argument, he's without Christian McCaffrey around, he might be it. Like, he might be one of the best running backs in the league. The Bills just absolutely dominated them at the point of attack. So there will be games where the defense plays great and they can get you by if you're not separating. And I think that's what happened, I think, early. And they got up in a couple of those game scripts that made teams easier to defend, specifically Jacksonville and Miami. But then, like, you go up against stiffer opponents and your offense didn't have the right game in either game, and their defense really stepped up in the second half of that Houston game, kept them in that game. You gotta have something, and they just did not have anything offensively in the second half of that Houston game.
How do you feel at this point, while we're talking about the passing game, we're talking about receivers? Like, I tend to focus on Coleman and Cooper, of course, the two guys who were concerned about being able to play. And Dalton Kincaid is not a wide receiver, of course, he's a tight end. How do you feel about how that's going? I try to be realistic with expectations. I feel like there's a skill set there that you could still be getting more out of with Kincaid. Do you think that they are doing enough to get him off?
No, I don't. But isn't it our fault a little bit? Like, it reminds me of the Ed Oliver conversation. Like, Ed Oliver coming out, who are they comparing him to? The best defensive tackle of all time.
Right.
And what they wanted to do with Dalton Kincaid was compare him to the best tight end of all time in Travis Kelce. And he's not that. But he's pretty good. He's pretty damn good. I mean, I think I saw, maybe it was Joe Marino that posted some of his stats this year.
Yeah, he's like top 10,
kind of 10, 13, yeah. 9, 7. Like they're.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, it wasn't maybe, he's not Travis Kelce to this offense. There's not a lot of other tight. This is all to say, if you look at Sam Laporta, huge step back. He's an afterthought in that offense right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who's really leading the way? Zach Ertz. And these weird guys that are, even like Dallas Goddard's kind of coming, having a revival season. Like, I don't know. I think
McBride's
the guys,
doing all right in Arizona.
McBride's
think,
doing right? well, yeah. And so I just think like the guys that people really thought, I think a lot of people thought that Laporta and Kincaid were going to be tight end one, tight end two. Hasn't been the case. We've seen glimpses. I don't love the way they're using him. Like, he's like, they're force feeding him. It reminds me of what they're doing with Diggs.
Yeah,
like,
I
getting screen passes?
Yeah,
What the hell is that?
I like Shakir in that. Like, I like those plays to Shakir, right? Those little bubble-type screens, like, get him the ball at the line of scrimmage and let him make people miss. I'm not, and they do that with Kincaid, too. And maybe a part of that is just to do it with someone other than Shakir, which, you know, certainly has its merit as a concept. I also don't feel like that's the best way. I'd rather see Kincaid catching the ball 10, 12 yards downfield and trying to make the guy who missed him miss a tackle and then hopefully make something bigger out of it. I think asking him to run through a bunch of dudes at the line of scrimmage is, I don't know, that doesn't sound like a great idea to me when I see that. So that's why I ask about how they're using him. You know, I mean, we've seen some moments, you know, of him down the field, but it's still not the seam stretcher type guy. I think he's got the skill set to do it. I just still don't see them finding a way to spring him to do it. And that's frustrating. You know, maybe that's a place you really need to look here if they're going to be down wideouts going into this game, which is certainly possible with the status of both Cooper and Coleman as we work our way through the week. Again, much more on all of that coming up in about 20 minutes when Sal Capaccio joins us for the rundown. We'll spend a few minutes talking about the Bills' backfield here and Cook and Davis and Ty Johnson and how they're being used as we continue. Nate Geary's in for Mike Shope along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.